restore and heal the things that you want to restore and heal. We give you permission, Jesus. Can you do that? Can you just give him permission every day, every Sunday morning? I give you permission to speak to me. He's a gentleman. He won't push in. He wants you to invite him. So just say, Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. I give you permission and access to me now. Amen. Good morning. Welcome. I'm Randy, one of the leaders here at Adventure Church, and we are in a series about the heart. And I just want you to take a second right now and think of a couple of films that you love, okay? Think of a couple movies, couple films that have captured you, that you're drawn to, okay? Think of a character in one of those films that you would kind of love to play that role. Who is it that you would want to be in the story, in that film? And what about that person would you want true of you? Did anybody think of any movies? Who thought of something? Anybody? Anyone? Debbie. Who? Tangled. Who do you want to be? The girl. Why? Okay. She has beautiful long hair. Somebody else. What film? Yeah.
Superman.
Which version? And does it have anything to do with football? What, who do you want to be? Superman? The Steelers. Yes, we want to destroy the Steelers, don't we? All right. We want to be Superman destroying the Steelers. All right. Somebody else, a film? Yeah. Dark Knight. Who do you want to be? Batman. What does he have that you would like true of you? He fights the good fight. He comes through. This is a vulnerable thing to share, by the way. I'm not asking you to share something just easy to share. It's gutsy. Somebody else. Yeah, Paul.
The old man of the sea.
The old man of the sea? I don't think I've seen it. What's the character? Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm thinking about, is it a movie? Okay. All right. When I was young. So what character do you want to play, and what does he have that you want true? Okay. Good. One more. Steve. Lord of the Rings. Right on. Why? Okay, we need one more girl, because we haven't had too many guys. Yeah. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Why? Because she didn't grow up as fast as Susan. That's a lot in that question, in that answer. That's good. Well, if you are new, I want to spend some time catching you up today with where we've been. And if you have been here, I want to orient you. I want you to kind of think through where we've gone in this series. We've been in a series called Thirsty. And it's about the heart. And we've been talking about some deep thirst, some longings that have driven you along, that God has created you with. God has created you with some thirst that He's put in you, that have driven you along all your life, that He's been calling to and appealing to in you. And we began the first Sunday just kind of opening up the conversation, kind of looking at, you know, maybe some core desires deep within us. We looked at some films. I showed you guys some pictures from Star Wars and kind of I want to be Luke, right? I want to go save the princess with the cinnamon rolls on her head, right? And battle the dark lord Darth Vader, right? And we talked about these desires in you, but these movies that you love, which point to some core desires that have been set within you. And we talked about what are those core desires, and we said that one of them is the desire for purpose, right? Some vital quest, that mission that you can give your life to, something larger than going to work every day and coming home, mowing the lawn, some large mission, something that where you are needed, where you can come through for others, right? And guys, a lot of guys experience that sort of with the sort of feeling of battle attached to it. We love movies. A lot of guys love movies like Gladiator. Not all guys, but movies like Gladiator or We Were Soldiers or Saving Private Ryan, right? Because it calls to something, a mission where we can fight to rescue, right? And years ago, in film, it was pretty much just the guys that had sort of the fierce mission, right? That had this dangerous side that fought for others. Not so much anymore, is it, ladies? Like today, you know, the films that are out that are just incredibly popular, you know, you've got Lord of the Rings with Arwen and Eowyn, who are tough, right? They're gorgeous, but they're fierce, right? Or Trinity, right, in The Matrix, right? Or recently, Angelina Jolie played a CIA agent in Salt. Great film, I thought. She's fierce. There's the popularity of these films tell us that there's something, ladies, in your heart that wants to fight for others, that's fierce, right? Can you identify with that at all? That longing to have a mission, a quest that you're made for, a battle. But not just to have that, but to share it, right? We want to share it. We want a friendship, a connection, right? Not just to have a critical mission, but to have some others that would go with you. Some others that would get your back, right? Some that would say, I want to hitch my wagon to yours. Don't you want that too? We've talked about that throughout the series. And then we've also talked about this other desire that sort of lies underneath, deep down, way underneath. We want to be pursued by someone. We want to be pursued. Doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man, to be the focus of someone else's pursuit. We talked about Helen of Troy, right? The face that launched 1,000 ships. How she's pursued by Menelaus. She's pursued by, what's the guy's name? The Prince of Troy? Paris, Prince of Troy, right? And for guys, you know, Neo, when he answers the phone, right, and Morpheus is calling, says, I've been searching for you all your life. To have someone significant that's searching for you, right? There's a part of us that's drawn to that, and we bring that to people, right, all the time. We offer things to get that from people, right? That's a core desire. It drives us along. Every film that has captured you almost always has these components in it, right? It's because they're the core desires of your soul. They've been put there by God, right? And the opening Sunday we talked about that those desires were alive and well in you when you were young, right? We heard from Jeff Hansen. This picture of Jeff just captured me last week, right? Here he is, this young boy. And I don't know what was going through your mind. I haven't asked you, so I'm just going to pretend I know. He's, in my mind, this kid, like, he's got goggles on for flight, okay? He's got, like, these gloves on. I mean, this guy, he's got his dancing shoes on. I mean, he's ready for anything, right? His heart is young and alive and ready for whatever, right? And then we started asking the question, you know, that was alive and well when you were young, but then the next Sunday we're like, what happened to those desires, though? Why aren't they as alive in us when we're older? Right? And then last week Jeff shared, you know, he gets the lead, right? He's told that he's a great singer and he sings as a boy, and then he's walking along and the boys behind him are saying what? Remember that? You sing like a girl. And he doesn't sing again for 10 years. Right? And the arrows come, right? We have these longings when we're young to be the prince or the princess, right? My daughters danced in flowing dresses, right? They want to be the beauty, right? Boys want to defeat the bad guys, but what's happened is our hearts, the arrows have come, and our hearts have taken cover, right? We've picked up shields, and our hearts have taken cover behind the shields to protect us from the barrage of arrows, right? We have been wounded, and the effect is our hearts have run for cover. Your heart has run for cover. And then we kind of ask, why the arrows? What are the arrows about? Why is this world like this anyway? Right? And we said, because your deep heart, those desires for mission and friendship and to be pursued, they're like a telephone, right? To God. I mean, you're in the image of God, and He put those desires in you because that's the part of you that God made to connect. This stuff's going to go away, right? Your body's going away. Who you really are is your deep desires. The true you are your longings. That's the part of you He wants to connect with, just like you who are parents. That's the part of your kid that you want to connect with, right? You don't want surface connection. You want heart connection. So does your Father, right? And He made that part. He made that heart that you have to connect with Him, right? That's what He's been calling to, romancing. But because of that, that part of you is hated. It is hated by your enemy. And your heart has been the territory that two opposing forces who seek to possess it have been at war over. God calling to it and romancing it, right? Trying to restore it and connect to it, and your enemy who's been trying all your life to kill it, right? To get you to deny your heart, live far from desire, right? Because he hates you, but more he hates God. And he wants to deny God what he wants, and God wants that connection with you, your deep heart, right? So early on, the enemy has sent arrow after arrow to convince you of some things. And those things we talked about, you know, you want to be pursued, you want to be fought for, you want to be the object of someone's pursuit. You, there's nothing about the real you that's wanted, right? You sing like a girl, right? You have nothing to offer, right? The message of the arrows comes right against your identity. The arrow comes and it pierces you. Who you really are is not wanted, so maybe you can offer something functional to get a little taste of being pursued, right? God, you know, you can't really turn to God because, you know, you're such a bonehead and you've done so many things wrong. He doesn't really have much interest in you anyway. Not you specifically. Right? He's aloof and he's distant. And he won't talk to you. I mean, you've tried, right? He just won't talk to you. He talks to Randy and everybody else, but not you. Right? Some of you have heard that lie. And that desire for connection and friendship, intimacy, yeah, that's a pipe dream. You've tried that and you've never had it. So forget it. Right? So, you know, with sort of these core convictions firmly in place in our hearts, right, as a result of the arrows, we've learned to construct these shields to protect us from getting hurt again, right, and just get through life. And your shield's as complex as you are. It's as varied as you are, right? We talked about the different shields we construct, right? To avoid being shot with an arrow ever again, our shield, if I had a shield up here, it would say victim, right? I'll play the victim and I'll go to blame to sort of soothe these hurts, right? And sort of hunker down or self-sabotage. I'll just keep the expectations really low. If I kind of crash my own plane all the time, you won't expect much of me and I won't have to fail and disappoint. You know, and these are just some. I mean, these are very few. There's so many. But, you know, we talked about self-reproach, you know. If I'm the bad one, then that gives me hope because I can change myself. or arranging, controlling. We talked about all the different ways this works, right? You can be the sweetest person people ever met, then nobody will ever hurt you, right? Or you can be the smartest person, then you can always win, right? You can always feel good. Or you can be so diligent. I will have this driving force and I'm always coming through, right? That's always been mine. Or I will be so fragile. If you just look at me wrong, I'm going to fall apart. So don't ever look at me wrong. Right? Never do anything that might hurt, that might set me off. Right? And that's our little keep safe, right? Or, I'll just not expect much. I'll just expect things to go bad. That way I'll never be hurt, right? I won't let desire even arrive. Or I'll just go passive, or I'll take over. And underneath all of that is this question, God, do you really even care about me? Right? So we talked about the arrows, and then we spent the next Sunday talking about, why have you been given those hearts in the first place? Let's pull back. Why have you been given those desires, those hearts for mission, intimacy, to be the object of someone's pursuit, right? And what does the Christian life and the gospel message have to do with any of that? Right? And the answer most of us have come to, we haven't spoken it, but deep down we think, the answer is not much. Right? Not much does the Christian life have to do with my heart or my desires or the things that really drive me along. Right? What about we have all those shields in place, and this is the effect of our society. It's what we look like. But the gospel has told us that desire for purpose, some vital quest, some great mission you were made, a battle to give your life to. Well, what we've heard is, your battle is sin. Right? That's your battle. You just need to not screw up and not blow it. I mean, it's every man's battle. Right, guys? There's even books out with that title. Right? And every woman's battle is dealing with her man who has blown it. Right? And that's what Christianity sort of told us, and we sort of have this part of our hearts that go, really, that's it? That's the great battle that I've been made for, to not blow it? Okay, and what about, this desire for friendship and connection, intimacy, right? We want a mission, but we want a mission, but we also want to share it. Well, that desire for intimacy, that's just going to get you in big trouble. I mean, you will end up on the internet doing something you shouldn't do, or in some romance or something. You just need to deny that one. You need to shove that one deep down. Okay? And then this other desire for to be the pursued for who you really are. Not for what you can offer, but who you really are. That longing in us, the message is, we'll pursue you. We could really use some help downstairs. I was at a conference this summer, and I was intrigued because this gal who's the head of a children's department in a large church in New York was saying, I said, yeah, we have such a hard time getting folks to serve in children's. And she was just like, oh, we have a waiting list. I was like, what do you guys do? She said, well, our pastor preaches every week on the Bema judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And we have people are ready to serve. We all of our custodial work is volunteer. Because they're preaching about Jesus is going to come judge you if you don't get serving. Right? Right? That's the message, right, of Christianity, right? That we've heard, right? And something in our hearts goes, that's it? That's what I want to be pursued, and the being pursued means I'm needed to serve. That's cool, but that's all? Feels like there's more than I'm made for, right? So we talked about that's not the gospel. We talked about the true gospel, the large story, and how it is the answer to all those desires that you have, and that those desires that have been driving you along, right? That heart for mission and deep connection, right? And community, and to be pursued. It's because that is your role to play, right? That you have that heart because you were made for critical mission. You were made for intimacy, and you were made to be the object of someone's pursuit. So we talked about the large story, right? That you were made in the image of this being, this trinity, this community of friends who are intimate and in love and connected. And because they are love, they created others to join them, right? They created angels first. But then there was this war, this rebellion. The angels rebelled and Satan was defeated and cast down where? To earth, right? Which sets the stage for our part in the story. God creates us in His image to be His friends, His intimate friends, His lovers, His allies in this war against evil. And He puts us in the garden with a mission to rule. And the word rule is this, it means in Hebrew fierce, to exercise fierce mastery in a place infested with demons and Satan. So you were made to walk with God in the cool of the day and have fierce mastery in a place infested with demons. That's what you were made for. Right? And that's why you have those hearts you have. That's why you have those longings that you have. Right? And but what happened next was the Titanic went down. Right? It struck an iceberg. Right? We went down. We agreed with God's enemy that God's heart is withholding, and it ruined the love affair between you and God, and we turned our back on Him. And when we agreed with our enemy, that betrayal gave this world to our enemy, his enemy. And we all bear the wounds of growing up here. Right? That's where we've all grown up. Right? We enter into the world like entering into a movie 45 minutes late, and it's a war zone. That's why your bodies are dying. That's why you have the physical issues you have. But more than that, more significant, we bear the wounds of growing up in a war zone in the form of all kinds of false conclusions that you've come to about yourself, about God, about others that you're meant to be close to. Because do you know what death means? The word death actually in Hebrew means? Does anybody know that? The enemy brings... God said if you sin, you're going to... If you eat of that tree, you're going to die. The word die is... Anybody know? Separation. Your enemy seeks to bring separation between you and God, you and each other, you and your heart. That's the form of death, that we die. Right? And you now have a world controlled by Him, filled with our collective small stories and shields. And right? But God, here's... Okay, so I'm excited about today. Because of where we're going now. That was all review. Okay? This might be the coolest talk in the series. I'm for me it is. God was unwilling to lose you. He was unwilling to lose you. So, like we said, before the curtain closed in the garden, He promised a rescue. Right? I will come for you, He said, and He launches 1,000 ships. Right? The gospel says that you have long been God's beloved, the object of His pursuit, and you have created a cosmic crisis. The gospel says that you are Helen of Troy, right? And you have been stolen from your true love, and He has launched the greatest campaign in the universe to get you back. Right? And so God conceived the most daring of plans under the cover of night. Right? He snuck into the enemy's camp. Right? Incognito, the Ancient of Days, as an infant, disguised as an infant. Right? And He came, the incarnation, to fight for us, to purchase us back, to give His life to get you back. And today's question is this: why? Why? Why did He go so far? What is motivating Him? What would motivate the wisest, most intelligent being in the universe to go so far, to go so elaborate, right? What does he want from you? There's been lots of answers we've been given, right? He wants your morality. He wants your obedience, right? He wants your service. And at some level, he's concerned about those things. But what does he really want with you? Why has he gone to so much trouble? I mean, think about your own heart right now. Just you. What does he want with you? Could it be that you are more than you realize? Things are rarely what they seem. And you are not what you seem. When you think about the fairy tales. Think about the fairies you've known. Think about the... derailed. Good time for a drink of water. I'm going to die. Think about the stories you love, the fairy tales, right? I love The Matrix, you know. Thomas Anderson, he's just a computer programmer, right? He's a nobody. Is that the truth? He's more than that, isn't he? He's a hero who saves the world, right? Or you think about Rocky, right? I mean, do you guys remember that story? I mean, he's just this meathead, right? He's this thug. He's on the docks, right? Breaking people's thumbs for a loan shark, right? Is that what he is? He's more. Why do we love this story? Why was this so popular? Because he showed that he's... Something rose up and he's more, right? You guys know Cindy, right? This is Cinderella. The original Cinderella. The reason why her name is Cinderella was because she was down in the basement cleaning the cinders, right? She's always covered with soot and dirt, right? Is that all she is, a chambermaid? Right? Why do we love this story? Because who does she turn out to be? The most beautiful, right? The princess, the sought after, right? This guy, right? I mean, it seems like he's just a selfish young man under a curse. Looks like an animal, right? What is he underneath, right? Could it be that he's a self-sacrificing prince willing to give his life for others? Yeah. Or this guy, right? A lazy exile, right? Living in self-soothing a Hakuna Matata land, right? He's just a lazy oaf, right? Could it be that he's more? Son of a great king. These stories, guys, are gripping. They're timeless because they're telling you something about you. About the part you play in the great story. You are far more than you think. Far stronger, far more capable, far more significant and precious to God than you've been told. C.S. Lewis said this, he kind of captured this by saying, it's a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, in a nightmare. There are no ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. The secret of the story is you are more than you realize. You are more capable, more loved than you realize. Simba, remember the story, Simba? Right? He's convinced by the evil one right, by the accuser, that he is despicable deep down. And he is riddled with guilt that he's responsible for the death of his father. And the arrows strike, and what does he do? He runs, right? He finds himself a nice small story in the jungle with two buddies, right? Timon and Pumbaa. To follow this, live out his life in exile and self-gratification. And what he doesn't realize is while he's relinquished the throne, right, refusing to rule with fierce mastery, the kingdom has been ravaged by the enemy. What a parable of our collective stories and your individual story. While you hide behind the shield of your small story and your false self, rest assured, the kingdom is being ravaged. Nala comes to him and tries to sort of shake him out of his small story. Let's watch this scene and we'll wrap some things up here. get it? Yeah, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says eternity has been written in the hearts of men. Right? He has written eternity in your heart. And that's why we see something like this and it speaks to you, because you are more than you have become. And I love Mufasa's, "You have forgotten me." No, I haven't. Oh no. The way you have chosen to live, the shield that you're hiding behind, is a demonstration of you forgetting who you are and me and who I am. Right? You are sons and daughters of the living God, the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He has pursued you all your life. You have a far larger role to play, not just in mission, like Simba needing to go back and fight for the Pride Lands and restore order, which many of us need to do. But you are the richest man on earth. You are the richest woman on earth, because you are God's choice to be His companion for eternity. David got this. This is the part of the story that really, really blew David away. Psalm 8, he says, "When I consider the heavens, the view, the stars, right? The work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him?" The word mindful in Hebrew is ponder over him. What is man that you think about, you ponder him? The son of man that you have sought him out, care for, is have sought him out in Hebrew. You made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him than the heavenly beings, crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him ruler over the works of your hands, and you put everything under his feet. And then in Psalm 139, "O Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." Right? You are so tuned into me. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word's even on my tongue, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before me. You've laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful, too lofty for me to attain. What knowledge is too lofty? That He matters that much to God. That God is that tuned into Him, that interested in Him, that fond of Him. Jesus said, "The very hairs of your head are numbered." Do you find it difficult to believe that He feels that way about you? The degree of difficulty that you find there is directly proportional to how effective your enemy's been and the arrows you've taken. What would He have to do to convince you that you matter to Him that much? Would dying for you do it? What if He chose you to be His companion forever and ever in eternity? Would that work? Would that convince you? What would it take? "You are the richest man or woman on earth. The Ancient of Days has chosen you to be His companion." Right? What would your enemy stand to lose if you found out that you were much more than you thought? If you found out you were much more than you realize, right? What would He stand to lose? See, He knows that you will never live beyond your perception of yourself. Not for long. You will tend to live up to what you believe is true about you. But if you believe that you're in the image of God, and if you believe that deep down there's something glorious and wonderful in you because of that, if you began to believe that He's crazy about you, you might just start living like a glorious and wonderful being. you might just become crazy about God back. And if that happened, you'd become a royal pain in Satan's backside. Right? He seeks to keep you in the basement cleaning the cinders, right? Or in the jungle with Pumbaa and Timon, right? Just get by, have some laughs, right? Stay far from your heart. Stay lost in some simple story, some small, safe story of victim or cynicism, or just get busy serving, right? And then you'll never fall in love with God. You'll never find your true calling. And the weight of who you really are meant to be, with you rising to your full height, will never land on this planet for good. That's his goal. Right? As difficult as it can be for us to see our sin and face it, it's harder still for us to see our glory. Right? 1 Corinthians 2, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for what? Whose? How long? Right? None of the rulers of this age understood it. If they had, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. 2 Corinthians 3, here's what's going on. We, with unveiled faces, reflect the Lord's glory, being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who's of the Spirit. We're going to play a song right now, and I just want to invite you just to spend a few minutes before the Lord. And let's put on some background music. And let's put the PowerPoint back up, though, if we could. You can just switch it. We'll get there. Last slide. And here's the questions for you. Just, Lord, am I your beloved? How do you feel about me really? Lord, what lies have I believed about myself and about you? What agreements have I made with Satan that have resulted in me living in exile? And Lord, how has my kingdom been ravaged during my exile? So let's just put the music on and spend some time before the Lord.